We're going to continue today in a series of messages called The Masterpiece Mindset. And just so that we're clear, go to Ephesians 2. I want to be clear about that statement. And if you have a New Living Translation, it will read the way I'd like for it to read, using a different word in place of workmanship. But Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Now, New Living says we are God's masterpiece. Say masterpiece. A masterpiece is an artist's or craftsman's best work. And so that, as far as we're concerned, you are God's best work. You are to God more finely made and more important and more beautiful than all of the creatures in the earth, than the skies, the oceans, the mountains, the flowers. I'm telling you, you are God's masterpiece. Say, I am God's masterpiece. Tell your neighbor, neighbor, you are God's masterpiece. Neighbor, say, I already knew that. Sometimes people don't understand who they are, but we do. Go to Isaiah chapter 40. This is part 6 of this series on the masterpiece mindset. And today the title of the message will be God and Mother Eagles, Parable of Majesty and Provision. Isaiah 40, verse 31 says, "But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not faint." Notice that in the text, the Bible said, the Lord said through the prophet Isaiah, that when you trust in God, you will find new strength or renew your strength. Say new strength. New strength. You know, that's an important thing. We need new strength. Sometimes strength you have kind of runs out. I would say that even yesterday's strength won't do for today. So we need to have what? New strength. And he says, and they, again, those who trust in God, will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary, walk and not faint. Now, we're using today the eagle as a parable, both of motherhood, a parable of majesty and provision. You know, how you see God really helps how you live your life. How you see God helps your faith. How you understand God's power and God's person really helps you get through life in a more victorious way. Now, the graphic we have on the screen shows the eagle in flight, the one behind me, eagle in flight. And I've got another picture I'm going to show you in a minute. Now, eagles are very special birds. They have no natural enemies. They're just too big, too strong, fly too high. Nobody messes with them except for people. But no other animals are enemies to eagles. Many attributes we'll bring out here in our lesson today. But I want you to get a hold of the fact that God uses the bird eagle as comparable to, or as a parable of his strength and provision towards us. Look at Old Testament. Go to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32. I want to bring this scripture out. Again, New Living Translation. And you'll see in this text that God's power and majesty are compared to a mother eagle. And there are many powerful birds that could have been used, but God chose the eagle, because eagles stand apart from all other types of birds. Now, eagle's a type of bird called a raptor, a bird of prey, like it's in a hawk family. Hawks and ospreys and so forth are all called raptors, but the eagle is the biggest, the most powerful of those types of birds, and God wouldn't choose no chicken, amen, no turkey. Come on, God chose an eagle, right? We like turkeys and chickens, amen, somebody, you know. They eat them. But they didn't symbol of anything. You know, it's symbol of being, you know, cut and fried and dipped in grease, you know. But the eagle's a symbol of a whole other thing, right? And so the text here says, verse 9, for the people of Israel belong to the Lord. Jacob is his special possession. He found them in a desert land, in an empty, howling wasteland. He surrounded them and watched over them. He guarded them as he would guard his own eyes. Like an eagle that rouses her chicks and hovers over her young, so he spread his wings to take them up and carry them safely on his pinions. The Lord alone guided them. They followed no foreign gods. So God compares himself here to Mother Eagle. And hence the title we've chosen, God and Mother Eagles, a parable of majesty and provision. Notice that in our text, this is speaking of deliverance, how God brought Israel out of deliverance, out of bondage from Egypt. And he used the eagle as a symbol for us to understand what it felt like, what it looked like, what it was. And, you know, God, parables are given to us because if God spoke in his own language, we could understand it. So God in the Bible gives us examples in life we can draw from. Let me say this about the eagles here spoken of. Now, the eagle spoken of in this text is not the eagle, the bald eagle. The bald eagle, I learned, is actually indigenous to North America. They're not bald eagles anywhere else in the world except here, or at least indigenous. They may be taken out, but they were actually known to be here first. But the golden eagle is the eagle that is everywhere else in the world, mainly northern hemisphere. So in the Middle East and Israel, they have golden eagles. Now, I got a picture of a golden eagle. If you can go ahead and find it for me, brother. It's this is now eagles' wingspan. Eagle weigh about 8 to 10 pounds, 12 pounds. But the wingspan of an eagle can be up to 8 feet. And so it's a very efficient bird, very powerful bird. And the bald eagle and a golden eagle are the same size, all right, just a different type of the same species. And the difference, though, what I found out is that bald eagles like to hunt for fish. Golden eagles will eat about anything. They'll get the rabbit, they'll get the hamster. Now, the rumor is they'll get children and cats. No, they don't like children and cats, okay? And eagles don't lift. They lift about, well, their body weight, up to 20 pounds they can lift up. But the thing about the golden eagle, I also learned, is golden eagles are very solitary, whereas bald eagles like to be in groups, okay? And they mate for life. This is a bird, somebody's holding this bird. Why do you hold him? But maybe he's hurt or sick or something, because otherwise he wouldn't be there. Amen. But get an idea of how big an eagle is, okay? We see pictures of eagles by themselves, but, you know, in context with people, you see how large the wingspan is, okay? So it's a symbol of God's majesty and provision. Eagles mate for life. Bald and the golden variety. And they will choose a mate, and they will be mated for life. And they'll raise the chicks and the babies and all that and feed them and take care of them, both of them, and all their whole lives. They just don't, they don't shop around, they don't shack, you know. Eagles, they just have enough sense to do what God wants them to do, all right? Now, I bring this out to you because, again, how you see God, how you view God, will really help your faith and help your life. Let me show you another picture, or actually the video down. Here's a video of an eagle, a bald eagle, hunting, fishing. Here's a mother eagle getting dinner ready. All right, watch this.
That they can never see coming. The bald-headed eagle.
awesome. That is really something. Mama's like, dinner time. And Mama and Daddy both do that, you know. And so again, how you see God really helps your faith. And God compared himself to this bird right here in the sense that he's powerful, he provides, he's majestic. Amen to that? And so that, you know, if God can create animals like this, how much more powerful is he himself? What can God himself do for us when he can send creatures who have this kind of ability and power? So again, the eagle is our parable for today. I want to work with that in this message. Motherhood is also a picture of God's goodness, love, and strength. And when you think about these insights, it elevates your appreciation for God, the sacrificial work of Christ and our mothers. It helps us to be more appreciative of life itself. Amen, somebody? Sometimes people are just not appreciative. They don't say thank you enough. They don't realize that all of our blessings come from God and other people. Say, all my blessings come from God and other people. And that would include mothers and dads and others. Let me share this with you that there are three important things I want you to see here, three important things that God does for us. First of all, God makes promises to us. Now, God is also a promise keeper. A lot of people have made promises, but they could not keep their promises to you. But when God makes you a promise, he has the power to keep it. Amen? The thing is, do we have the grace to receive it and the grace to trust God? Second, God perfects us. He matures us. God won't leave you the way he found you. Amen. Thank God for that. So he is committed to our improvement, to our growth, to our maturity. When you look at how the eagles raise their chicks, you see that, how the nest is built, where the nest is made high above the predators. Even how the eagles train the eaglets to fly when it's time. All of this shows us how God perfects us. Thirdly, is that God provides for us. He provides. Say, God provides for me. You saw the eagle there, you know, getting the fish out the water. Now stop and think about what it takes to get the fish. The eagle's perched up on a branch or is just soaring. And the eagle has the ability to see these fish swimming just below the surface of the water. And they gotta time their, you know, their attack and their dive to coincide with the time the fish is still at the surface of the water. So eagles fly 30 miles an hour. But 100 miles plus an hour when they're diving. Then they flatten out, and you saw them snatch the fish out of the water. And all of that reminds me, man, if God can make the eagle get some fish to feed her young, God can take care of me. Amen. Say, if God can make the eagle catch fish to feed her young, then God will take care of me. Amen. Sometimes videos like that, you watch it a couple of times, it really helps you just appreciate, I mean, nature itself, but God who is the author of nature. Now, Mother Eagle also speaks of the nurturing nature of God. And this word nurture, it means to give tender care and protection to a child, a young animal, or to a plant, helping it to grow and develop, to encourage somebody or something to grow, develop, thrive, and be successful. Nurture is a real important word. It's more than just feeding somebody, providing, you know, a roof over a child's head, which is important also. But nurture is where we actually engage with others, where moms engage with children and with tender care protection, but really with an aim to help them grow and develop. Because nurture is all about growing and developing. You know, a child left to himself, the Bible says, will come to ruin. But nurture is the key. Now, let me give you some attributes of how does God nurture like a mother eagle. First of all, there is a mother eagle's sight. That speaks of God's omniscience or all-knowing. Now, God knows all. He sees all. And the eagle's sight is such that They can see an object as small as a rabbit from hundreds of feet in the air. They can see. Eagles see 3 to 4 times farther than we do. Eagles can see another eagle soaring 50 miles away. Eagles are amazing. And their sight, you saw the eagle in the video, how he swooped in, he looked down real quick to see where he was, snatched that fish, and looked back up and just soared, okay? I also read that if the fish is too heavy, the eagle would just swim to the shore, drag him on, he'd just drag him. If he's too heavy to carry him out the water, the eagle would just swim, you know, and take that fish onto the shore if he's close enough. He won't give up on that meal, okay? So, but the eagle's sight reminds us that God sees all. Please don't ever make the mistake of thinking God doesn't know what you're dealing with. Doesn't see. He knows all. And just make the assumption, God, you see, you know. But the thing is, we want to, well, Lord, why haven't you moved on this yet? Why haven't you done that yet? Because God knows what he's doing. Sometimes, y'all, if God did things on our timetable, we might miss a greater blessing later. See, God knows what he's doing. His sequence of how he works with us, just learn to trust him. In fact, you know what? You can't do nothing but trust God. At some point, you'll figure out, you really will, Lord, I'm going to trust you. Because everything else I try in my own strength just does not work out. So say, I'll trust God. Isaiah 40:28 says there is no searching of his understanding. So, you know, he has the understanding. We just tap into what he knows. Number two is the mother eagle's swiftness. It speaks of God's omnipresence. He's everywhere. So God's first, he's all-knowing, and now he is everywhere. We mentioned the eagles can fly 30 miles an hour or more. They can fly over 100 miles an hour. In a dive, 150, also I read. But God doesn't have to travel at high speed because he's always present everywhere. I mean, as fast as the eagle is, it'll take him time to get from the sky down to the ground, but God is already there. Amen. He's a very present help in a time of need. Glory to God. Number three is the mother eagle's strength. God is omnipotent. He is all powerful. He's all knowing. He's ever present, and he's all powerful. Again, the bird weighs up to 20 pounds. It can carry its own weight. Again, I said wingspan is 8 feet. I mean, for a bird, it's very strong. And when handlers handle eagles, they wear a very heavy leather type of a arm guard because the talons are incredibly strong and sharp. And so the strength of the eagle reminds us. The Bible says, Peter said, cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. You know, God can handle the load. You can't put too much on God. God won't say, now that's, hold up, time out now. That's just too much. That's just too much. No, God never comes back when you say, no, I can't handle that prayer request. In fact, God hears all the prayer requests of all his people everywhere in the world, all the time, every day, every instant, and doesn't even flinch at it because he's Almighty God. He is omnipotent. He has all power. Fourth is the mother eagle soaring. The height at which eagles soar is a parable to us of God's holiness. You know, holy means other than. Holy doesn't mean that I'm better than. It means I'm other than, meaning that we're separated by God. And we derive our purpose and wisdom and how we live from God. And so we're in another category, all right, with him. And so that eagles fly higher than other birds. And they fly between 10 and 15,000 feet. They can just soar. And they're so high until they can extend their massive wings and barely even have to flap the wings because warm air is rising. And they are riding that warm air and just soaring and looking. You know what I'm saying? It's just an amazing thing to see. I've seen only a few eagles in natural, and, you know, well, I've seen eagles perched, never seen one flying. I've seen them perched in different places over the years, but it's an amazing sight. And so then when you think of and picture in your mind, like the picture or graphic of the eagle soaring, then, you know, God soars. You know, your mothers have soared, you know, to take care of you. I mean, to have the point of view to see what's needed. And so these are all pictures and parables that help us understand God better. Number five is the mother eagle's offspring, or God's children. Eagles are very protective and supportive of their young. Many animals ignore their young. And even some animals, some of them, devour their young, all right? But eagles train, mother eagles train and teach the eaglets. Teach them how to fly. Teach them how to hunt when the time is right. See, God never leaves us to ourselves. God never forsakes us. You believe this? Amen. God's always teaching us. Even sometimes he'll teach us, we have to learn things the hard way, we say. So be it. But how eagles learn to fly is interesting, because when eagles need to learn how to fly, their kids are getting big, the eagles are growing fast, the nest is getting full. You got mom, dad eagle in there, and you got the eaglets growing, getting bigger and bigger, and it's getting tough in there. So it's time for, you know, eaglet to fly. And the way that mom does it first is she removes some of the down in the nest. Make the nest a little less comfortable. Okay, so when the down layer, the soft layer is taken out, then some of the twigs begin to stick up. So eaglets like, ooh, oh, that sticks, you know, eaglets jump up, you know. And I hear that eventually eaglets wind up on the edge of the nest. And mom give them a little bump, like, boop. And they go falling, all right? But yet, when they begin to fall off the nest, the mother eagle is right behind them. Now, at this point, the eaglet has wings. Eaglet has all the muscles, but he or she needs to learn how to use those flying muscles. So then, instinct, the bird begins to flap its wings and begin to soar. But mom is right there trailing and can go under the eagle if necessary, go under to protect it from falling completely. But the idea at some point is eaglet gets pushed out the nest, basically. A gentle nudge. Time for you to fly, okay? And because of the grace of God, you know what? We get nudged out in situations in life, don't we? Amen, somebody. Amen. If we had our way, we camped out in some situations all forever. Sometimes God removed the comfort. Let you feel the you know, the aggravating pain. You jump up, you get on the edge, and you fall off, but you don't fall down. You begin to learn how to fly. There are things, people of God, that you're going to do in your life that you've not done yet. There are abilities, there's grace, there's opportunities for you that you will never learn or get into because you don't know what you don't know. So God has to help you know things you don't know and you would not find out without his help. Amen? Amen. So the mother eagle's offspring, she's very protective, she trains them. So again, understand, it's a picture, a parable. Let me give you two keys. First key is, again, majesty and provision, key number one. And again, we're nurtured by God. Say nurtured by God. It's that tender personal care. See, God is perfect in all his attributes. All that is good and righteous in our mothers, we see it in God. It came from God. And so the Lord is a perfect example of mothering and nurturing. He wants us, even as men, to be nurturers. Men should nurture too. Amen, somebody? I mean, we shouldn't be distant from our children and from those who we ought to help. And yet the eagle shows us. And the eagle has great concern for her children. God has great concern for us. Look at Isaiah chapter 40. 40 verse 11 says, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom. He shall gently lead those that are with young." Now, here's how you can know God, if God's helping you. If somebody is pushing you, if you're being pushed, that's not God. God's going to lead you. Amen. God's going to invite you. Come on, come with me. He'll set the stage where you know, you'll want to, but it's not God behind you pushing you into stuff. You know, if you go someplace, even just go buy something. If anybody says, you got to buy this today, that's your sign not to buy it at all. You know what I'm saying? You got to, the sale goes off today. Well, let it go off today then. You can't play me like that. So God leads us and we're led, not driven. Say, I'm led, not driven. Amen. It says, skip ahead here, look at, let me give you, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. May not be on the screen, but if not, I'll read it to you. It says, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which belong to God. Now get a hold of this. If you're a Christian, what makes you a Christian is that Jesus paid for you. He redeemed us from sin, from the devil. He paid a price to possess us. And then now that he has us, he loves us, he helps us, he trains us. He says, glorify God in your body and spirit. This is an important key because sometimes Christians think that, okay, yeah, you know, I'm saved and I love God and my heart is for God. Yeah, but where's your body? Where's your mind? Where are your words? Where are your eyes? I mean, we belong to God, spirit, soul, and body. Amen. Don't separate this out now. I'm a Christian in my spirit, but in my life, I'm this other way. No, that's called being double-minded. So I'm not double-minded. All right, we're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in spirit and body. Provision key number two. Majesty and provision key number two. We're trained by God. Again, we're trained by God. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It says in verse 23, Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. Now, sanctification, the word sanctified means set apart. It's the process by which we're made holy. Again, holiness is not just how you dress. It's reflected in that, can be. But holiness is not from the outside in, y'all. It's from the inside out. So when you're sanctified, it's when God, like the ego, will teach and train and help you understand there's a process whereby you're being separated to a higher, better purpose. He says, so may the God of peace sanctify you completely, not just 10%, not just halfway, not 80%. He said completely. And that's a lifelong process. In fact, it happens in every area of life. It happens in your how you think, how you handle your money, in relationships. I mean, we have to be sanctified, set apart for a higher purpose in many different areas of our lives. That's what's called, it's called maturity. And so he says that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who will also do it. I like that because I read the Bible and I feel conviction over what I need to get done in my life, what God would have me to do. I don't feel like I'm always in grace. I'm not working for anything, but I feel responsibility. And so when God gave me an assignment, it seems overwhelming. And so I remember this text which says, he who called you is faithful, who will also do it. Amen. So listen, y'all, here's the deal. If God asks you to do something and says, I'm faithful, and says, I'll help you do it, you don't have any more excuses. Y'all right, nigga? Okay. Went dead quiet. I must have said something wrong there. I must have missed it right there. No, listen. Again, if God called you to do something, an assignment, and says, now I'm faithful, I'm powerful, I will help you do it, all we got to say now, Lord, what's the assignment? When do we start? Amen? I mean, how much will it cost? Whatever. And you'll provide that too. So that's the sense where you, when you see God as majestic and a provider, it affects our attitude in a very good way. Now, it's sometimes hard for God's people to learn because we're seeking our own interests over God's interest. We're just literally, you know, caught up in our own agenda, and we can't see what God is doing to help us. And that is the comfort zone. But again, God can make that nest uncomfortable. God knows how to focus you. God knows how to focus people who love God. He can get our attention. Amen. And when he does, it's not for harm, it's to help us. And so just as a mother eagle has to take those, the downs and leaves and all the cushiony stuff out that nest, sometimes God has to also remove the layers of comfort from our lives. We'll get quiet again. That's okay. I'll encourage myself in the Lord. Amen. Don't make no difference. I'll keep on going. Amen. So then the Lord is helping us. And in ways that we like or don't like, but he's helping us. Now, when the Bible uses that term, we go back to our text and says there how that the eagle, how that she will rouse her chicks, hover over her young. All right? That word for rousing is the same word that's used in Genesis where it says that God hovered over the face of the water. So the word rouse and hover in Genesis 1, same word. Now, when God hovered over the emptiness, really, the void, if you will, then God began to create, all right? Began to create. I mean, something from nothing, basically, or from himself. Now, when the eagle hovers, rouses her young, it's a signal that it's time to move. It's time to enter into purpose. It's time to get something done and go to another level. The word rouse means to incite or awaken. Say incite or awaken. And God's a real good inciter. Amen. He can incite and awaken. He does it, again, through the word of God, messages like this. He does it in, as you're praying, reading the Bible. It happens all kind of ways that God will rouse us and he'll hover. And when God starts hovering over your life, listen, he is getting ready to do something creative, something wonderful, something you couldn't ever imagine without him. Amen. When he hovers like that, get quiet, begin to pray, spend more time in the scripture, listen to messages on tape and CD, whatever, or MP3. I mean, just get yourself, when God is hovering and rousing, he's getting ready to help you and bless you in a major way. Y'all receive that? God, he will train us to fly through his presence. Again, he will strengthen us. But most importantly, God brings a sustaining power to your life. You know, anybody can do something for a day. We can get excited, jump up, and go do something for a day, for 2 days. But can you continue? Our original text said that those who trust in God will find new strength, and three things happen. They will soar on high or soar high on wings like eagles. Now, I can imagine that. I can imagine we just saw an eagle soaring to go hunt. He says they will run and not grow weary. You've seen people who run well, distance runners, they seem to not grow weary. They're just running, they're gliding down the road. Then it says, and they will walk and not faint. And I always say this to you, I suggest to you this. I suggest that that's the hardest thing of all. Because it's actually fun to soar with wings like eagles. You can imagine yourself soaring. He says, it's fun even to be able to run and not be weary. That's fun. But can you walk and not faint? That's where we have the biggest problem. Because soaring is a short duration, walking, running is short, but man, you walk every day. And can you walk and not become bored and not grow weary and not lose focus? Amen? Amen. But then we can because we're trusting in God. The whole text began by saying that those who trust in the Lord will do three things. You will soar, you will run, and you will walk. and you won't fail. Say, I won't fail. I won't fail soaring. I won't fail running. And I won't fail walking. Amen. Last scripture. Last two scriptures. One is Isaiah. Actually, one is Psalm 55. Turn there. And then Psalm 121. Psalm 55. Verse 22. Take this to heart. This will really help you. It says, give your burdens to the Lord, and he will take care of you. He will not permit the godly to slip or fall. Psalm 55, 22. Look that up, write it down. It'll help you. Because I always get burdened sometimes. A burden is something heavy. Just something heavy. Heavy in, on your mind. Heavy in your life in terms of circumstances. He says, give your burdens to God and he will take care of you. He won't permit the godly to slip and fall. But please, you can't take the second half of the verse without the first half. Amen? Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm not going to slip. I'm not going to fall. Amen. But I keep falling and slipping. Did you read part A of the verse? It said, give your burden. He didn't say just like think about giving. He didn't say just lean that way. He said, give your burdens to the Lord and he will take care of you. You know, I like getting things fixed that I can't fix. Now, I try to fix things myself, you know, whether it's mechanical stuff, you know, whatever. And, but, you know, sometimes it's really liberating to say, you know what? I can't fix this. I cannot fix this. And I spent too much time trying. I'm going to hand this off to somebody who knows what to do with it. Amen? And so you do that. And then it comes back. I mean, working just fine. And you feel like, wow, I should have done this before. Now, it does cost. There's a cost to letting somebody else fix what you have broken. But yet with God, the cost has already been paid. Hallelujah. Jesus already paid. So why are you trying to do stuff that's already been paid for? He says, give your burdens to the Lord and he will take care of you. He won't permit the godly to slip and fall. Let's face it, church, sometime people are stumbling, having failure and mistakes. We don't condemn anybody for anything, but sometimes the fact is simple. The fact is simply that sometimes we believers set ourselves up to slip and fall because we didn't do what God said. Now, thank God for his mercy. Like, again, the eagle learning to fly. The eagle is falling. Mother comes, get up under him, save him. Take him back to the nest, and we're going to try this again. And so God is just as merciful with us. But yet, we must understand that we must own the fact that if we're not taking time to worship God, read the Bible, pray, serve God, give, all those things, I mean, it's just foundational stuff. These are the ways we cast our burdens. And for lack of that, sometimes we slip and fall. Last verse, Psalm 121. Just a way of encouraging us, just a psalm or a song. Psalms are songs, song lyrics, basically. And Psalm 121, look there if you have your Bibles. It's down on the screen. I didn't put it on the screen, but I want you to see this. Verse 1, look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Oh, my goodness. You mean so that I'm getting help from the one who made all this? Yep. Yep. He will not let you stumble. The one who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel never slumbers or sleeps. The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord stands beside you as your protective shade. Praise God. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon at night. The Lord keeps you from all harm and watches over your life. The Lord keeps watch over you as you come and go, both now and forever. That's some good news right there. Amen. Yes, it is. And it's true. We proved it. I mean, Paula Hill found out. It's all true. It's, see, when accidents, things happen, You know, people say, I'm praying for you. I've been praying. That's why I'm safe now. We don't start praying when stuff go down. We've been praying all along. We're not expecting trouble, but when trouble comes, we've already gathered foundation. We've already trusted God. Amen, somebody. And there's still a mystery to why things still happen. We don't go there, but all we know, we thank God. We thank God for the help he provides us. So, church, I want to encourage you here, just final words, that how you see God, how you understand God, will help your faith, help your life. As you understand motherhood, and we've all had mothers, obviously, and we understand what that represents to us. And so God is a mother-like one as well. And so that we get a picture of God's majesty and God's provision. As the text said, those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Amen? Let's all stand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you for reminding us, for this is not news to most of us here today. We've heard it before, but Lord, faith comes by hearing and just not by having heard. And now that we've heard again, all for the first time, Lord, we have faith. We have faith to walk in the provisions. We have faith to walk in the blessing, Lord, because we trust in you. We find new strength. New strength, Lord, not warmed over strength, not somebody else's strength. We find new strength from you. We get new insights, new solutions, Lord. I mean, whatever kind of strength we need, it's available. It's available, Lord God. And just as we learn, Lord, as the mother eagle rouses her chicks, hovers over the young, spreads the wings and take them up, Lord, thank you that that's what we've experienced in our lives with our mothers, with you. And Lord, we are appreciative. We are deeply appreciative, Lord. In fact, we appreciate it so much until we're going to live the right way. We'll live the way you want us to live. We are so appreciative of what you've done for us. We're going to stay with you. We're going to live for you. We're going to share with other people our experience of serving you and loving you. We'll give our burdens to you, Lord. And you'll take care of us. You won't permit the godly to slip and fall. And for those who have slipped and fell, Lord, there's mercy. There's repentance. There's grace to stand up again. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. While heads bowed and eyes are closed, if you need prayer this morning, I'm asking you to step forward. Let me pray with you. If you are not a believer in Christ,